down to the altar and just start worship right down here. If it's out of your comfort zone, that's okay. Good things happen out of your comfort zone. We're going to talk about taking risks for God a little bit tonight. So why don't we start off just getting out of your seat and worshiping God, because He's so worthy. Amen? So, so worthy. He's so, so good. Go ahead and put your hands together.
He's good. Yeah. is. Hallelujah. Lift up your voices and worship Him, worship Him. Oh, You are so good, love. You're so faithful, Lord. You are. Oh, yeah, that's what I can do.
Worship Him right now. Oh.
fail. Thank you, Jesus. He's never failed me. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord.
If he's never failed you, why don't you lift up your hands and just thank him for his faithfulness?
Oh, yes, you are so faithful.
Let's thank you, Lord. We're grateful for your consistency. God, even when we have been unfaithful, you haven't changed your mind. I'm glad our unfaithfulness has not altered your faithfulness. And for that, we give you praise and honor. Let's give God thanks for his unchanging, unwavering grace and mercy. He deserves all the praise and the thanks. Thank God. Thank God for that. Would you go to three of the best looking people you know tonight and tell them God is faithful, if you would please. You may have to walk a while, but find the three best looking people here. Thank you, choir. And let them know God is faithful. No. I'm still looking. Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Charleston Church. Welcome everybody that's joining us online. We're so glad that you've chosen to spend some time with us, even if it is digitally. Come on, let's welcome everybody viewing online, Facebook Live, live stream, whatever it may be that they come. I want to ask the ushers to come, and we're going to worship the Lord in our giving tonight, and we want to be faithful in that. Thank you for coming to be with us tonight. It's a special night to honor and to send a very special family in our church family. But before we go to the preaching, I want to just invite you to be a part of our giving tonight. And if you're watching online, you know you can give there as well. I think the instructions are there. They should be. Just type #donate, no spaces, #donate in the comments, and then you'll receive a prompt and you'll be told how to give that way. But if you're in person, the ways to give are on the screen. If you have not seen, maybe you'll just take a, well, you will be going to the fellowship hall tonight. That's where we'll be gathering after the service. But the project for the fellowship hall has already begun. The stage is being started and other things are taking place. So we're very grateful for your support to make that happen. Starting in August, the first Sunday in August, we will be collecting supplies for the area schools every Sunday. And we'll be telling you what supply we'll be asking for. Some weeks it'll be pens, pencils, crayons. Some weeks it'll be notebooks. Some weeks it'll be whoopee cushions. BB guns. No, I guess you can't take those to school anymore. So that'll be taking place, and you can be. I think I got a ring up here or out there, but thank you. There's a devil in our sound system, and the poor sound people just need therapy this week after the day's over. But they're doing good. And that's it. Lord, I pray that you'll bless our giving tonight. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. You're taking care of your church, as we've heard already tonight. And you continue to do so. Take care of your people, we pray in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Was it 2011, Vinny, that you started with us? Was it on staff in 2011? I think Billy got involved at the church first. Is that correct, or was it you? Who came first? Billy came first. And that would be Vinny's younger brother. And I'll never forget the day I was sitting in my office looking out at the woodpile. The woodpile had extended beyond the building. And I looked out and there was pieces of wood flying in the air, back and forth, back and forth. I said, this is either a vision or something crazy is going on. And I looked out, and you know what a pulp hook is? Okay, you make me nervous. I'm not ready for city folks. A pulp hook has that long hook that you grab wood with. And there were some wood ends, firewood ends out there. And Billy and Vinny were playing pulp hook pass. And they would, with the pulp hook, and they would throw the end of a piece of the firewood over, and the other one would attempt to catch it, then throw the other one back. And I didn't tell Barbara, because I knew that she'd be calling the insurance company right there to check on our liability. But just been a joy. I think it back started when we got introduced to this family through Vinny Sr. Vinny and the wife. Those of you that are old timers here remember that. Vinny and the wife. We never knew what Kathy's name was until, I don't know what happened, but she was always the wife. Vinny and the wife. And then the boys came. And then Vinny got going to faith school theology. And I don't know, how many times did you get engaged when you're in school? Two or three, or just this one time? All right. And and he met Tiana. And the rest is history. And 2.5 children later, here they are. And I'll tell you for real, and I said it this morning, Vinny and Tiana have been a tremendous part of this staff. Just a complete addition. And this is not our request, but this is the leading that they feel of the Lord, and we want to be very supportive of that. And honestly, as a staff, we're going to miss them. And as a boss, I've always enjoyed having him here. Just done everything and then some, was asked to do. And was so grateful, Vinny and Tiana, for your ministry here, ministry to our church. Things have been started in your time here. Things have been built in your time here. And we are sure that you're not going to just going to take what you've learned here, but you're going to take even more. And wherever it is that God sends you, I know there's several opportunities for you, which we're not surprised at. And, you know, when you say that you've worked on staff at Charleston Church, every door on the planet opens. I mean, people are begging. Begging. I mean, who wouldn't want somebody who pastors out in the middle of absolutely nowhere? No, a side road in the absolutely middle of nowhere. But God's doing some great things here, and this is a night for us to celebrate. It really is. This is a night for us to honor. These are our own, and they're going out. As the Father sent Jesus, so the church sends Vinny and Tiana to do a great work for God. And how many believe that you're going to hear nothing but great reports of people being won to Christ, the church being increased for the glory of God? Amen. That's what I'm expecting. I expect nothing less. Come on, give a good warm welcome to Vinny Green as he comes to minister the Word of God.
I love you, buddy. I'm proud of you. Really proud of you.
After the service tonight, after Vinny gets done preaching, we're going to lay hands on him, pray for him, send him forth. And then we're going to the fellowship hall. We're going to have something to eat. And we love you. A Marine.
Yes, sir.
A soldier for Christ. One more time, let Vinny Green know you love him, if you would.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor. And I just want to start off by saying how just appreciative I've been of this church. This actually became my home church in 2006. I had just gotten back out of the military, got saved while at the tail end of my time in the Marine Corps, and I came back here and I checked out maybe three or four different churches, and I knew immediately, after you've been to this church, you really don't have to search much further than that to know that this is the church that you should be attending. And I've had the opportunity, and I think I need to do this for myself, so just sit there, listen to me, and take this in. But I hope it means something to you, because this church has been a church that's helped me grow because of you. Helped me grow as a man of God. It's helped me grow as a husband. It's helped me keep in line as a husband. It's helped me grow as a father, and it's helped me grow as a minister. And I know that in situations like this, people getting sent out, and honestly, it really did not make sense to me at first. And I really had to pray through. I really had to seek the Lord, because this was comfortable. This was great. I mean, people will search their entire life trying to find a place where pretty much everybody loves them. I say pretty much because I know what some of you all think about me. No. This is my opportunity. I need to talk to you. No. But honestly, the love that this church has given to me and my family, and to have a family and be able to raise kids in this church without any judgment at all, looking from the outside in, wondering, are they thinking about us? Are they judging us? I'm not unaware and unappreciative of what I've had here. I'm going to speak in faith that I will have this again, but it's going to be really hard. Only the Lord can reproduce what's going on here in the dynamic that we have, and we're aware of that. And it's all because of this church. This church has been just absolutely instrumental in every part of my life. And in fact, besides Jesus' DNA being in my blood, Charleston Church's DNA is in my blood. And I don't know any other way to do church other than what I've experienced here. I've seen it a couple different ways, but this is how church is done. And I know God. This is a model that God will use to expand His kingdom. And so I'm excited to share with you my final word for as a pastor on staff here. And so if you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And Pastor Ward and Darcy have meant a whole lot to me, and they have no idea how much they've taught me. Maybe they have an idea, but I've learned so much from them. If he gives me an extra hour, I can start listening to you just the different things that I've learned. But I'm just so appreciative of you guys allowing me to be on staff at this church. Not just anybody can be on staff at a church like this. and somehow you had pity on me and knew I needed the training and the help. So thank you so much. July 4th, me and my family were hanging out at the pool. Anybody go to the pool on July 4th? Anybody do that? I'm not a big pool person, but, you know, the family loves the pool. And so it was hot. It was worth it. And so I jump in the pool, and I call Anderson over to me, and he has his, you know, the little bubble things on him, and he walks over to the edge of the pool like this, and I'm like, all right, Anderson, come here. And he looks at the water, and he looks at me, and he immediately goes, Mama, Mama. Like, was he thinking I was going to drown him? I'm not sure what he was thinking was going to go on, but there wasn't a lot of trust there. And of course, his mother gets into the pool, and he immediately goes to her. No problem at all. But it didn't take long before Anderson was just playing in the water, kicking in the water, and it didn't take long for him to stand on the edge of the pool and jump to us. And it's at that moment that I noticed something in my kids that I've noticed, and it freaks me out, but I believe it's part of their DNA that God put in there, and it's called risk. My kids just love to take risks. Kids have so much fun taking risks. And I'm here tonight to share with you that God has put this desire. It's a God-given thing. God, I know you don't believe me yet, but I'm going to prove it to you. In the Word, you look in the Word and you don't see anything where God is just telling people to play it safe. And the DNA that's inside of us, God wants us to take risks. And we're part of a church that takes risks. You know, we opened up an Epic Center, built a $750,000 building in the recession. This is a church that knows how to take risks. But as Pastor preached this morning and talked about how we don't have to pray and wait for revival. Revival is now. Faith is now. I want to tell you that now is the time to take a risk. And so I want to share with you and just kind of delve into the scriptures just a little bit. Take just a moment here, because I know I really, the most important thing to me tonight, other than sharing the word for you, is having you pray for us. That's important. I don't want to leave here without having that, so I want to get right to it. But Matthew chapter 25, verse 24 says this. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Pause. Right there, we know something about this person and his character. And the thing that we know about this person is that he does not know who the master is. He has no idea who the master is. The master in this story is representative of God. And this person here, like a lot of people in society, assume they know who God is and what he's like, but they have no idea who God is. Because his response that, I knew you were a harsh man, proves to us he has no idea who this man is. And in society, this is just a side note, in society, people think God is harsh. People think that God is mean and mad all the time. And you know what? It's our job to prove to people and show people by our lives and by the way that we talk, by what we do, that God is not a harsh God, that he's not a mad God, that he's not mean and unloving, but God, in fact, is a loving God, and that he wants to meet you right where you're at. Whether you're not saved in this place tonight or whether you are saved and been saved for 30 years, God wants to meet you wherever you're at and take you to the next level. For those of you, maybe you're not saved tonight, that next level is a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are saved tonight, the next level is part of your purpose and plan that God has for you. And so this man says, I knew that you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. The scary thing about this guy is that he thinks he's done a good thing. He's like the dog that kills the rabbit and brings it to your step. It's like, look at what I did. It's good. No, it's not good. And so what this man did is he played it safe and he thought it was right. He played it safe. He didn't take any chances, just played it safe. And he thought what he had done was the right thing. But listen what the master said. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money into the bank? At least I could have gotten some of the interest off of it. See, this scripture right here gives us some insight into the mind of God and into his heart. God does not want us playing it safe. God wants us taking risks. And I know there's some people over 50 here today, some people over 60 here today, and you're thinking, well, that's a message for those young people. But if I read my Bible right, God called Abraham to father a child at a very old age and take a risk. God called Caleb to take a risk. And so whether you're the youngest in this room tonight or the oldest in this room tonight, God wants you to take some risks. God, I don't, if you're in retirement age, that's the perfect time. Whoa, that was weird. That's the perfect time for you to take a risk. That's the perfect time for you to take a risk. Retirement age. Praise God. Let's pray that doesn't happen again tonight. I'm transitioning, but I'm not transitioning that way. Oh, Lord. But I love this passage. And if you don't understand the heart of God, you can get this passage wrong. This passage really is telling us tonight that he wants us to take risks. He doesn't want us to be timid. He wants us to go after things. And I want to say this to you, that there is no faith in playing it safe. There's no faith in playing it safe. And I believe that I'm looking at a bunch of risk takers here tonight, here in this auditorium and here there online, that there's a bunch of risk takers that God is calling out, not for tomorrow, not for next week, not for next year, for some futuristic thing, but for right now. Now is faith, this pastor has been preaching, and God wants somebody to get something in their spirit that decides, I'm going to be a risk taker. I'm not going to hesitate. I'm going to be a risk taker and be willing to extend my faith, because there is no faith in playing it safe. Nowhere in Scripture will you find it. And so we have to understand, what does it take to be a risk taker? And the one thing that it takes that I see through the Word and through what I've observed in risk takers is this, that in order to be a risk taker, you have to have courage. It requires courage to be a risk taker. If you're married here today, at one point in your life, you had to take the risk to ask your wife to marry you. And that was a risk because she could have said no. Anybody ever see those videos of, like, at a baseball game, the guy's really confident and he just knows his girlfriend's going to say yes, and then she says no? And of course, like, it only took, like, I had asked Tiana maybe only 4 times before she actually finally said yes. It's like rejection, rejection, but I was persistent. No, that's not true. She actually asked me to marry her. But if you look, everything in our lives that's worth anything took some level of risk to get. Whether it's getting married, whether it's having kids. Look, having kids is a risk. More of a risk for some than others, but it's a risk to have kids. And so we have to understand that anything worth getting, it takes a risk for us. Joshua 1:9 says this. It says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Why is it that God shared that to the Israelites, and why is God telling us to be courageous now? Because God knows that there's a mechanism inside of us called fear. And this mechanism of fear is going to keep us, if we allow it to get a hold of us, it will keep you from achieving your destiny. It will keep you from your destiny. The book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 25, I think it is, says that the fear of man will lead you into a snare. And I just got thinking about this, and I begin to wonder, how many people here tonight are ensnared by fear? How many people, you know that God's called you to something and wanting you to do something, but fear is keeping you back? And maybe you're online watching on live broadcast, and you're like, man, I really want to go to church in person, but fear of people is keeping you out of the house of God. I want to tell you that it's time that we understand that the Scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So what God wants us to, why did God give us that type of spirit? Because God intends for us to be risk takers. And so for some of us here tonight, the risk might be different. The risk that God is calling you to take might be a little bit different than the risk that God's calling me to take. But I just sense, as I was preparing for this message, there's people in here that God's purpose and plan for you is here, but you're living down here. And you constantly have in your mind and in your heart, well, it's that don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow mentality. And that is killing churches. Don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Because there's this mentality we have, like, you have this image and this idea of the person that God wants you to be, and you're fully confident believing that God can make you into that person, but you always put it off till tomorrow. Like, I'll get on board with having my devotional life, but I'll just put it off till tomorrow. I'll get on board with it tomorrow. I'll commit to church every single week next week. Like, I'll be committed. And I want to tell you that that is not God's best for your life. But fear has gripped you. Fear, some of you here tonight, you don't think that you have what it takes to do whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Maybe you don't feel that you're fearful that what if I do step out? And I don't know if I'm looking at a bunch of writers here, but maybe you're like, you know what, I want to start a blog or a vlog. When Pastor Ward made us start like doing those Facebook Live videos, that was horrendous. That was like the worst thing. Like, you guys love me, so I'm like getting up to preach to you guys. Like, I didn't lose any sleep last night at all. But to do like a 10-minute live video broadcast on Facebook Live is incredibly intimidating and difficult. I can't tell you how much fear was gripping, like had me every single time I have to do that. Just as Pastor kind of encouraged us and challenged us, I want to tell you that in the Spirit, God is behind you right now. And He's saying to you, He says, I know you're afraid. I know you don't want to do it, but I've equipped you for it. I've called you for it. In fact, before you were born, I was preparing and I had a plan for you in my mind to do that thing. So I don't know what that thing is for you. Maybe somebody's sitting here tonight and you're called to Bible college, but you've hesitated and you've waited. Look, you're not getting any younger. Tomorrow you're going to be older than you are today. Stop waiting. We literally do have one life. There is no such thing as reincarnation for us. There's the one reincarnate God, but there's no reincarnation, folks. Like, this is the life that God has given you to do. And that's the gist of that entire parable. The parable of the talents. Like, God has given you some stuff. Now, if you're fortunate and blessed like me, God hasn't given you a lot of talents. That sounds funny, but I don't have a lot of talents. I can't sing. I can't dance. I can hardly talk a little bit, but it helps me rely on other people. And that's why God gave me such a beautiful wife that can sing so good. But there's some of you here have so many talents. I know the parable of the talents is talking about money, but I'm talking about your giftings and your talents now. God has put stuff in you that He intends to use for you. It's not even for you, it's for Him, and God wants you to use it, but fear has gripped you. Fear has kept you from delving into that. Fear has kept you from firing the bullet. Fear has kept you from talking to the coworker. Fear has kept you from doing what God's called you to do. So a risk taker, somebody, it's not somebody that doesn't have fear. See, that's a risk taker is not somebody that is fearless. It's just somebody that has courage. Being courageous doesn't mean there's an absence of fear. It just means you're able to overcome the fear that's there. Every one of us has fear, but faith has to come in and say, you know what, I know, I'm afraid, but courage. See, courage comes from God. When God says, be courageous, guess what? That's a great thing for God to tell him, because He's going to give you courage to do whatever it is that He's called you to do. That's what it takes to be a risk taker, but there's some benefits to being a risk taker as well. There's some benefits. One of the benefits is that being a risk taker will keep you alive. Being a risk taker will keep you alive. There are so many Christians that are dead. There are so many churches that are dying. There's so many, you know, on a Sunday night like this, do you know how many churches couldn't even get this on a Sunday morning? Because they're dead. There's people that are dying spiritually, and they won't move. They won't do anything. They won't take a risk. They're just content with being dead. And I guess the problem with being dead is you don't know it. Until somebody says, hey, I think you might be dying. I think you might be dead. And the way to avoid becoming dead, and another way, a way to get out of death, spiritual death, is to become a risk taker. I love the passage in 2 Kings chapter 7 with the two leprous men. They're sitting outside the gate of the city, and they're just waiting to die. They're sitting there, they're waiting for their demise to come. They're waiting for their flesh to fall off and just die. But one of them gets an idea, and he decides that, you know what, I think we should do something about this. And in verse 4 of chapter 7, the Bible says this. It says, if we say we will enter the city, then the famine in the city will kill us and we will die there. And if we sit here, we will die also. Now therefore, come, let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we will live. And if they kill us, we will but die. In other words, what they're saying is, I'm not just going to sit here and die. I'm going to do something about it. I'm not just gonna let my circumstance or my situation keep me down, but I'm gonna do something about it. And they decide that, you know what, we're gonna go to the Arameans. And what the amazing thing is that when they took the risk, God showed up. God shows up in the risk. God always shows up in the risk. And so as they begin to march, the two of them begin to march toward the camp, guess what? God did a miracle. Some of you might be in need of a miracle tonight. I'm telling you, what you might need to start doing is taking a risk. All of a sudden, the camp began to hear. They thought like 10,000 warriors were coming to kill them. God showed up in the risk. Somebody here tonight needs God to show up. I want to tell you, you're one risk away from God showing up in your life. God wants to show up. The pastor kind of took an illustration from me this morning. God wants to show up. And God's up there. He's like, all right, go. I've equipped you. I've called you. I've done everything that it takes for you to go. And we're just sitting there sometimes like, okay, Lord, I'm listening for your voice. Speak to me, Lord. Tell me, Lord. Tell me when it's time. Guess what? The time is now. God wants you to go now. He's ready for you to go. He's ready for you to do it. But what does that look like? Because I know that if I was sitting there, I'd be like, well, what does God want me to, what risk does he want me to take? I think. Somebody's like really worried right now. Like is God calling me to like Africa? Is God calling me to like South America? Some of you tonight, the risk that God wants you to take might be in the form of tithing. I'm talking about spiritual death and coming alive and taking a risk. For some people here tonight, to tithe your money is a risk that you need to take. I remember for me, that was a huge risk. For some others, it might be volunteering at the church. For others, it might be getting involved and becoming committed to every single Sunday. Do you know that for some people that come to this church, an every Sunday type situation is a risk for them? Because family, my family didn't really necessarily do anything on Sundays, but family sometimes gathers. We're in a day and age where family gather on the weekends. And for someone who is maybe a new Christian to come to church and commit to every single Sunday would be telling the family no and telling God yes. That's a risk. But you know the benefit every single time when you take a risk on God, God has a way of taking a risk on you. Every time you take a little risk on God, God has a way of taking a risk on you. Every time God sees that you're faithful in the little risk, they're willing to tithe. And that is a little thing, actually. I used to think that was a huge thing. Anybody ever been there? Like, tithing? 10% of my income? Like, that's a huge thing. Well, no, actually, it's a little thing. And when God sees it, he'll start taking a risk on you. And so we have to have courage. We have to understand that if you're here tonight, and maybe it's been hard to read your word, who here tonight has it ever... would admit that at some point in your Christian walk that it was hard to read your word. At any point, like to wake up in the morning and be committed to the word, it'd be hard. Anybody ever go a week like that, a month like that, a year like that? There are Christians that go years and years dead. And all what they need to hear is a message like this, that God has something that he wants you to do and get involved with. He wants you to take a risk tonight. Now, don't go, because this would cause a problem, and I'm almost done. Don't go tomorrow to your boss and quit your job and sell your house and sell all of your interests and all of the things that you have and buy a camper and intend on just traveling the countryside preaching the gospel. Tomorrow, don't do that tomorrow. Because a person that is a risk taker knows how to count the cost. A risk taker needs to be someone that is able to not only count the cost, but understand that there has to be a plan in place. I believe that there's people that are hesitant and timid and maybe not willing to take a risk because they've taken what they thought was a risk before, and it didn't work out for them. But really what they did was they took a flesh risk and their own idea, or maybe it was the God idea, but it wasn't in the right timing. And so we have to understand that when we take a risk, when we become risk takers, we have to take God-sized risks, but also go through the plan that God wants for us to take it in. You know, when we got that Epic Center, there was a plan in place behind it. Calculated risks. I remember when I was a kid, I had a buddy named Kevin. And we used to go over to his house and play sometimes. He'd come over to our house and play sometimes. Both places were very unsafe places to play. Very dangerous. And I remember this one time we were playing, and I don't know how it happened, but Kevin ended up stuck between his bunk bed and the wall. Not his body, his head. Just his head. And I tried to push him up, he wouldn't go up, and so I tried to pull him down, he wouldn't come down. He was stuck. There was no movement, he was stuck. And so he finally said, "Vinny, get my dad. And now I had to make a calculated risk. I had to think through. And I decided that see, his dad was a scary dude. Like, he would either kill us with his hands, or he had plenty of machetes. I don't know what kind of, like, I'll have a machete, but, like, who needs, like, 20 machetes? I don't understand. And I don't know what he did with them. He wasn't a butcher. He was just a scary dude. And I thought about it, and I'm like, I realized that the risk of my friend having minor brain damage was much better proposition than getting his dad, who would have killed us. And so I got on the side of the bunk bed, you know, and I just started lunging backward, separating, giving a little bit of separation between the wall, his head, and the bunk bed. And of course, so inch by inch, bam, 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 it finally came down. And he was fine. To this day, he's fine. A calculated risk. The reason I want to share that with you is because sometimes when it comes to being a risk taker, we overcomplicate everything. We make every decision such a big decision that we actually move into indecision. You ever met anybody like that? It's like, dude, I should be careful, but like, just marry the girl. Come on, do it. Marry the girl, or stop dating the girl. Anybody ever been there before? Like the decision is not that difficult, but you complicate the decision. Has anybody ever complicated a decision before? The decision's not that complicated. And so what we have to do when we're going to be risk takers, we have to hear God's voice. We have to know that it's God. We have to hear God's voice, know that it's Him. Then we have to seek Him for a plan and seek other people maybe for a plan. And then a key thing that you have to do is just make a decision. Go for it. Finally tonight, I just want to close with this. And if Heather, you'll come to the platform. And this is the why we need to be risk takers. This is why you and I, we need to be risk takers. It's because a risk taker will impact the kingdom of God. A risk taker will impact the kingdom of God. I got thinking about this, and I thought of Esther. And Esther was in the situation, and the nation of Israel was in a really bad situation. And God was calling Esther, and God was using a man named Mordecai to speak to Esther. And Esther was in a dialogue back and forth with Mordecai, and she came to a decision. She decided, and when she came to that decision, she asked the group of people to fast and pray with her for 3 days and three nights, and that her and her maidens would do the same thing, that they would fast and they would pray for God's guidance, and that she would go in and talk to the king. And see, at that time, talking to the king, just going in there, even though like she should have been able to just go in there and talk to him, but that's not how it worked back then. So she goes in and she talks to the king. And her mentality going in was, I'm going to take the risk. I'm going to do this. And if I die, I die. What ended up happening from that was the whole nation of Israel got saved. And I believe God is looking for some risk takers here tonight, because God intends to use your life to win some people to Christ, intends to take people that are headed down a path of destruction, headed to hell, and put them on the right path. And there's some people here tonight. You work beside people every single day of the work week that God wants to use you as kind of like an Esther to speak life into them, to speak direction into them, to give them some hope and some to help them understand that the way that life has been for them up until this point isn't the way that it has to always be, that there's something better. Did you know that Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly? Do you know and realize that not many people out there outside of the church even realize that? Do you think that the majority of people think that Jesus came to come and mess up their marriage plans? Came to put restrictions on who can get married to who, and that Jesus came to make it so that I can't have fun, I can't party, I can't do this, and put all these rules. People think that Jesus came to just confront you every single day with the Ten Commandments. But you know what? The Holy Spirit does come to convict us. But it's the same reason that at the beginning of this message, I told you when Anderson came to the pool, he had those float things on, the life preserver. And see, the work of the Holy Spirit in us is like that life preserver. And what God does, Christianity isn't about a bunch of rules. It isn't about a bunch. In fact, like when I first became a Christian, because I had some kind of Catholic background, like I literally thought that like life was going to be completely boring and I had to sing like Latin and try to learn Latin and all these things. But you know what I've learned? Is that there's everything and anything that I ever did before 22 years old when I gave my life to Christ, really in comparison to what my life has been like so far from that point on, was boring. And I went to war, I went to Iraq, I got shot at, I saw people get blown up, I've seen some crazy things, I've seen exciting things, I've traveled the world, I've done some nice things, and I thought that all of that was pretty exciting. But that's nothing in comparison to what I've seen as a believer. The world needs to understand that what God wants to do with your life is absolutely amazing. It's exciting. But too many people think that they're going to live a boring life. So when I say that scripture, that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, I believe the prosperity part of that, but I think people automatically just assume the prosperity part of that. Life is more than just money. Life extends far beyond that. If you want to have excitement in your relationships, if you want to have excitement in your ministry, if you want to have excitement in every aspect of your life, then take a risk. Begin to risk things for Jesus. Begin to get on board with His plan for your life. The Lord spoke this to me, that there is no faith in playing it safe. There's no faith in playing it safe. It requires absolutely no faith to play it safe. The non-Christian, the Christian alike, can play it safe all of your life, and it requires no faith whatsoever. What is playing it safe? Staying within your abilities. Doing what you're able to do. Staying in your comfort zone. That's playing it safe, and it requires no faith to do that. But what God wants us to do tonight is He wants us to step out of the boat. He wants us to take a risk. He wants us to not just qualify everything based on our own ability, but start observing things based on His ability and step out and go into the world and do what God's called us to do based on what He can do and not on what you can do. I want to pray with us real quick, but very specifically and just different, I guess, even than I didn't plan this. I just want to pray for you guys, and I feel very strongly in my spirit tonight that God wants to heal somebody. And so tonight's altar call, we're not going to make a big deal about it because I want you guys to pray for me. But I have to do this. I'm going to take a risk. This is a risk. You know, when you say, like, you sense the Holy Spirit speaking to you, and you say, God, there's somebody that has something and that God wants to heal. In fact, I know there's more than one. Because I have knowledge. I know very specifically, knowledge-wise, there's somebody. But in the Spirit, I know there's more than I even know. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, real quickly. If you, in your body, I don't care if it's a broken pinky toe or cancer or some other serious thing or minor, it doesn't matter. If your body is in a condition that was not God's ordained condition for your body, so less than perfect, maybe you have a back pain, maybe you have chronic kidney stones, maybe, who knows what it is, you know what it is if you've got it. If that's you, raise your hand right now, quickly. If that's you, raise your hand, quickly. Put it right up. Jesus can see it and I can see it, that's it. Father, I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord, that for every person, look, Lord, I'm taking a risk right now for every person that raised their hand, Lord, that has their hand up, Father. I speak healing in Jesus' name. I speak healing in Jesus' name. Lord, right now, Father, I speak healing in Jesus' name. For every person that has their hand raised, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that they are healed. By your stripes, we are healed, the word says. And Lord, we thank you right now that every person, all the way from the right, all the way to the left, Father, is healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. Thank you all. I'm excited for what God's going to do. In this church, I'm excited for what God's going to do. And I just know that God's going to use this church to win the lost. People are going to get saved. And what I really want to do. Yeah. So right now, my wife and I, we are looking to become pastors, senior pastors of a church. And so right now, the reality is we haven't decided where that is exactly. We're kind of just stepping in faith, taking a risk, and trusting the Lord. So I'm kind of just preaching to you tonight what's in my heart already. So, and so we're just trusting the Lord. We know that God's called us, but what we want to do is the Lord's just been speaking to me and my wife for quite a while now about teams. And our heart and our vision is to find a church that needs a pastor. They're without a pastor. Go into that church, and we want to have a church that impacts the community. We don't want to just have a church that meets the needs of the few people that's in the church. We want to have a community-impacting church. I want that church to get to a place where this church is, in the sense of every single Sunday you can count on somebody getting saved. I want it to be a soul-winning church. I want it to be a church that worships God, that knows how to worship God in spirit and in truth. I believe that. Why do I believe that? It's because God can do it. The Bible says God intends to build His church. And so that's my vision. I want to build the church of God. I want to win people to the Lord. With the help of teams and people that one thing, you go to Bible college and you learn to do ministry and you get into ministry, and then all of a sudden you learn that you're not supposed to do it. You're supposed to give it away. And I believe that God's going to equip my wife and I to give a lot of ministry away. We're going to raise up people, I believe, to go into the ministry. There needs to be a great Bible college, which I happen to know where there is one for that. And so the Great Commission. That's really what I want to see God do with our lives. We want to see people saved, discipled, raised up, and sent out. That's really the mission that I believe that God has put on our hearts. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. That's it in a nutshell. And really, I've just had that modeled here from everybody here. And it's part of my DNA. And I want to see. When God's in it, it's impossible for it not to succeed. And so I don't want to sound too cocky and like say, oh, it's going to be this. But when it's the Lord, you can brag on the Lord. And I know that God, where God places us, He wants to do a work there. Simply because of this, not because we're gifted enough or smart enough or good enough, but because we have enough faith to believe that God can do that. And I know that He will do that. And that's it. Praise God.
It's too hard. Come on, guys. Let's stand. I'd like the board to come join me on the platform. And the church family, would you join us in the altar? Come on up, Vinny and Tiana. Are the children with the grandparents? Where are the children? Are they out? They're in the nursery. All right. Yeah, why don't you bring them in? Why don't you send somebody? Who would we send? Who will? Mammy will go for us. All right. Thank you, Mammy. Does she have a pass? Because they keep the kids locked up. All right. Just come running in close if you would. Everybody that can, physically can, we're just going to gather together. Board members, join me here on the platform. Please, thank you so much. Everybody that physically can, we're just going to pray. And I think you started full-time in 2000, part-time in 2011, right? Did you ever work for us part-time?
Yeah, I think in 2010.
2010 it was part-time, and then in 2011 full-time with assimilation, the young adults, and then added to that to the volunteer, and added to that Joe's house, and added to that care pastor, and been so much that you guys have been a part of, and we've been working diligently to get those positions established. So those of you that are in assimilation, volunteer ministries, Jamie Dunphy still take care of that. The assimilation team, just bear with us. We're still trying to adjust and figure out what we want to do that way. But greater things are still to come for you guys, huh? Greater things. And you did a good job. You guys have done a great job here. Just say this as a church, as the pastor, you know, and you'll know even more, but your heart really is for the benefit of the church, and anything that benefits the church, you long for that. And you guys have done that, just been tremendous. So great is your faithfulness here, and God's just going to continue. And we'll have these guys back. I mean, it's not like they're never going to come back, and even get you to come back and preach. And come on up, little ones. You want to come up? Here comes Anderson. No, he wants his grandmother. He says, I don't get to see. Oh, I don't think he's happy about that. He doesn't want either of them. He can go back. That's fine. I don't want to traumatize. Like the last Sunday he's here, he's just forever scarred. I think he likes you, if you were wondering. Well, now he's smiling. That was typical pastor's kids. They know how to turn it on, turn it off. All right. Rick Moore is the vice chairman of the board. I want him to come. He's got some scripture. Oh, he got over it. God healed him. He had it. Zach's helping. All right. God's healed his heart. Rick Moore, come and just share some words.
The highest form of worship is the worship of unselfish Christian service. The greatest form of praise is the sound of consecrated feet seeking out the lost and the helpless. This is a quote from the late Reverend Billy Graham. Although we are saying what seems like or feels like goodbye to a highly cherished and talented young couple, we are proudly perpetuating the gospel of Jesus Christ through Vidi and Tiana as an extension of the Charleston Church. So their lives, which have enriched us in so many ways, will now be the catalyst of what Billy Graham referred to in his quote. As it states in Romans 10:14-15, beautiful are the feet that take the good news. Vidi and Tiana are a talented, vibrant, and godly couple who share the passion for the lost, as well as to challenge God's people. I'll put a quote here from Pastor Ward. He's going out to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. And that's exactly what he's going to do. Because the time is short, and this couple is heeding the call that Jesus Christ has put within them. As he said in Luke 10:2-3, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest. Go, I am sending you out like lambs amongst the wolves. This couple recognizes the challenges and they lay ahead of them as they seek to fulfill what God has placed upon their lives. And we couldn't be happier to be a part of that, equipping them in this ministry. It is extremely encouraging to know that this church has trained up Vinny as well as his brother Billy and his great parents. God bless them. We watch them grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is truly the will of God for Charleston Church, as we are faithful to His Word in appointing godly men and women as the leader of this church. Before Pastor Wood asked me to say a few words, I'd already had in my heart and immediately some scriptures that came to mind. As soon as Pastor asked me to speak, I confirmed quickly that I would be honored to do this. And the words of Apostle Paul wrote to his young protege in 2 Timothy 4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the quick and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. They will accumulate to themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will set aside to fables. But you, be sober at all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This is a strong charge by Paul to Timothy, and the same charge we make to you. We have all been enriched by the passionate preaching you've demonstrated over the last several years. Personally, I've been touched, inspired, and challenged by several timely messages, including tonight. Thank you. You've delivered under the unction of the Holy Spirit. Your preaching is authentic and needs to stay that way. You don't need to be like any other preacher. God has called you, and with that calling, He has equipped you to deliver the message of the gospel that will reach a multitude of lives. It is not the style of preaching that wins the lost. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through you that speaks the truth of the heart of man. So be the man God has called you to be. Humble conviction and a heart for the people God has appointed to you. I've always loved the analogy from a song I'd heard long ago. It talks about a cup on a saucer. The cup was overflowing, and the saucer became something those around it could drink from. This is the same way I feel about you and your wife. I've come to know you personally, and I've personally been able to be a privilege to drink from that saucer. Whether it's an individual time at a University of Maine football game, or at Joe's house, or just as that confidant that you helped us through with my troubles for my daughter, who greatly appreciates Tiana and her children. You've been there with a passion, an unjudgmental demeanor that only eternity will reveal its full impact. So thank you for being that man and woman of God has placed upon your in our lives. There is no doubt there will be people who will want to be something else. They'll want you to be some other way for them. They'll want a word of compromise. They want you to agree and justify what they want to do. But as Paul said to Timothy, the time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled. This reminds me of another quote I found from Billy Graham. Many churches of all persuasions are hiring research agencies to poll neighborhoods, asking what kind of church they prefer. Then the local churches design themselves to fit the desires of the people. True faith in God that demands selflessness is being replaced by trendy religion that serves the selfish. I have no doubt that will never be the case with you. You have learned the value of preaching the whole word of God without apology. Let God speak through you with a compassionate heart for the lost. Recognize that God ultimately wants to do through you. You are not being sent out to make a name for yourself or call people to yourself. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4, "For when one of you says, 'I follow Paul,' another says, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not mere men? Then what is Apollos? What is Paul? What is Vinny? They are servants through whom you believed, as the Lord has assigned to each his role. I planted the seed, Apollos is watered, but God has given the increase. So neither he who plants or he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. He who plants and he who waters are in one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor." As we have the privilege of sending you out, may God richly bless you and your children and the ministry from which God has called you. God bless you.
Let's gather around and Steve, Rick, if you would, let's lay hands on these folks. Stretch your hands this way, if you would, please. And let's pray God's mighty anointing upon their lives as we send them forth.
Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in this couple. Thank you, Lord, that you've equipped them. Lord, it's not our equipping, but it's your equipping. It's your Holy Spirit that has played such a vital role in their lives as a family. As children of God, Lord, you placed upon them the desire to minister, to love, to save those who are in need your touch. God, we pray, Lord, as you have equipped them, that you will continue to anoint them. You appointed them, Lord, for such a time as this. Lord, the time is short. And Lord, the need is great. But Lord, as you placed upon their heart the desire to know you fully, to teach those who need you, Lord, God, let them ever have that heart of service, heart of servanthood. Lord, as you've touched them and blessed them, love their children, keep them, Lord. We know, oh God, that you will have their lives hidden in your word, hidden by your grace. God, we don't have any other words, but Lord, we just pray, oh God, that your spirit would make a way. God, let there be a division, and Lord, help him to make that division every day in his life. Strengthen him. Strengthen their lives. Let them have purpose for everything that they do. Lord, let them take that risk. As they're taking that risk tonight, Lord, God, you make great reward for it. Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit, what is done in our lives. We pray, oh God, that you would now anoint and protect, strengthen them with what they do for your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. And maybe we should pray for Vinny and Kathy and Roland and Tambor. They've been kind of happy to have grandkids around, but wherever the Lord guides, he provides all the time. And we're so grateful. I hope that everybody here will take time to come out and eat and just say some kind words to Vinny and Tiana and tell them what they've meant to you. And don't just assume it. How many understand we assume way too much? We should do a less assuming and a little bit more acting and communicating to people while we have the time. So we want that to happen. So excited about your future. It's good. And you've always got, and we've talked about this privately, you've always got a home base to draw from. And the future's bright. Amen? Bless you guys.